Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening again this week. Required recess, teacher bonuses, and potentially big money for charter schools. Just some of the ways Florida public schools will be changing under a new controversial law Governor Rick Scott signed late last week.
Our traditional public schools, they get better when they compete, right? Now, we should hold our traditional public schools accountable. We should hold our charter schools accountable. We should hold everybody that gets any state funding accountable.
House Bill 7069 garnered a lot of attention in the waning days of the legislative session from teachers, parents, and public school administrators hoping to derail the legislation, but it is now law. It requires local school districts to share money for school construction, maintenance, and equipment with charter schools. The Palm Beach school superintendent says the law will cost his district alone $230 million over the next 10 years. Mark Ellman has taught English in Miami public, private, and charter schools. He doesn't think this should be a debate, though, of charter schools versus traditional public schools.
I just don't think we should dichotomize the debate that it has to be one or the other. There has to be a way. There is enough money in the till. There's enough money that comes from the lottery and transportation, tourism money, in this state in particular, to make all types of schools solvent. And then from there, it's really just getting the right people in place.
Patty Land from Tamarack worries about shifting money from the traditional classroom student to charter school companies.
The thing that is most concerning about the charter schools and the fallacy that it gives parents choices because they're, quote, public schools and they're free, well, they're not free. Most of them require that the parents donate hours every week to the school or else pay a fee. They've taken our tax dollars and given them to a profit-making organization, which is a slap in the face to public education.
And Carlos Reyes is the father of an eighth grader at a charter school in Little Havana. Now, he moved his son to the charter school after he finished fifth grade because it was closer to his home. And Carlos says so far the experience has been very good.
I do think that if the public school system is not improving as rapidly as one would expect, as the academics level will expect, then we have to go with, you know, other alternatives. And if charter schools are preparing our students more rapidly, more effectively, why wouldn't we support that system? Why wouldn't we put, you know, our full effort and tax money and funds to support that system?
We are at public schools and paying for them in the state of Florida. Nancy Ankrum is the Miami Herald's editorial page editor. Sergio Busto, senior editor at Politico Florida, with us via Skype. Rick Christie is the editorial page editor at the Palm Beach Post. Nancy, how significant of a change in educational financial strategy is this House Bill 7069? One more time, Nancy.
It's very significant in that public schools will have to share to their detriment capital funds, education funds. Charter schools in and of themselves are not a bad thing. But the state does not hold them to the same standards as public schools. Public schools are like public hospitals. They have to take all comers. Charter schools can cherry pick. Mm-hmm. The testing requirements are not the same. And of course, there is money to be made. And so that in and of itself means that charter schools will have an easier ride.
And the legislature that supported this, passed this bill, Rick, will say, and the monopoly of traditional public school has gotten Florida public schools in the straits that they're in. Competition is good. If there's a profit motive, that's okay.
Well, I agree with Nancy, first of all, that charter schools in and of themselves are not a bad thing. I think the way that many of our districts have gone about, and the state particularly has gone about allowing them to operate is the problem. Again, they're allowed to cherry pick students from low performing schools. And they don't have the same level of accountability as the traditional public schools have. So I don't see where that allowing them to expand and get more of those public school dollars is going to help anything. When I was listening to the father, I believe in Miami, speak last, and everything about if the charter schools or if these schools can lift our performance of our students, maybe we ought to be, but they haven't been. That's the point. They don't perform better than our traditional public schools. But still, our legislature is willing to sink hundreds of millions of dollars of traditional of dollars that go to traditional public schools into them when they haven't shown in terms of performance that they are any better or will do any better for our students.
Sergio, compare this strategy and the potential impact on how the Florida legislature approaches paying for public schools to the accountability efforts and reforms that Governor Jeb Bush led, 10, 15 years ago, and really now is seen as a sea change of how Florida deals with its public education.
Yeah, I think the idea that has been bantied about for years now, and you've all touched on it, is the way supporters of charter schools see it is we need to bring competition to what is this, as you said, a monopolistic system. And what's happened over the years with a Republican-dominated legislature, the Democrats there just can't get any headway or any power to really have any influence on legislation. Thus, you see something like HB 7069, which really was a if there was a fight, it was among some Republicans, but very little Democratic input got in that bill. And as a result, when the fight is just between how much to give charter schools versus let's not go that route, you really just see the ball moving closer and closer to almost like two parallel systems running in the public school system, one with charters and one with just the traditional public schools.
If I could just add that one of the sad things that's really happened over this decade or so since Jeb Bush's initial education reforms is the demonizing of teachers, particularly through the teachers' union. I think the teachers' union has been used. The teachers' unions have been used as sort of like this foil for those proponents of school choice and education reform to help move things along, which has been pretty sad, to be honest with you. It's unfortunate that, and I'm not saying the teachers, all teachers are perfect. Certainly, we all have gone to school and had some teachers we didn't like and everything. But it's really sad to see that these folks who are responsible for educating our kids have been sort of demonized to move to promote this effort for school choice.
I think that the teachers' unions in many ways are like the police unions. They do protect their rogue members. They protect the most ineffective among their teachers. I think they were ripe for demonization.
Mm-hmm. Does this strike you, this idea that Sergio described, kind of the beginning of creating a dual parallel system, essentially, a traditional public school system that continues to be supported by property tax dollars and other buckets of revenue, and then this charter school system? I hearken back to my time as a financial reporter and covering the Great Recession, where you privatized the gains and socialized the losses. That was a phrase we heard a lot during the bank bailout. Are we planting the seeds of that in Florida when it comes to quote unquote public education? Nancy, Rick, Sergio,
I think more than the camel's nose is under that tent, and that is a good way of putting it. And I think that those, again, it's another case of those who can least afford it are going to get, can I say screwed? You know, the most.
Friday afternoon, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
right. Okay.
I was going to say
absolutely the most.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's interesting this bill was passed, and just a couple weeks later this week, you know, a charter school founder, a management company was criminally charged with racketeering. And this company had charter schools in Pinellas, Scambia Bay, Hillsborough, Broward, and Duval school districts.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It's like now we're going to have to keep an eye on this other group, which is getting funds for a for-profit operation along with our traditional role as watchdogs and keeping track of public schools that they don't misspend money. Again, I think you're going to see the same problems you see in some cases with public schools, but in charter schools. But when you have this kind of situation, I think it just, you know, you say to yourself, well, it can't be that perfect then if they're stealing money, or at least allegedly stealing money. And you wonder, you know, I think it's going to be one of the situations like that parent. Maybe for his child, the school is fine, but maybe for other children, it's not. So, again, it's a parallel universe. You know, these two different worlds are going to be tracking, and yet the taxpayer money is going to be divvied up among them.
Well, you know, though, it's interesting. One of the reasons that Rick Scott's, the number of, the percentage of black voters that went for Rick Scott for his second term, mm-hmm. it pretty much doubled. And much of that was driven by school choice.
Yeah.
And the desire for a better school. So it's again, there's nothing inherently wrong, but how they are monitored, how they are held accountable, it's missing.
Accountable is the phrase I wanted to ask about. The accountability here, Rick Christie. I mean, Sergio talks about some of the issues surrounding investigations of racketeering. Allegations with one public school or one charter school operator. What about the accountability? The way that the charter school systems have been set up in Florida, accountability continues to track back to those 67 county school boards, doesn't it?
Right. Well, it does. Yeah, and I think we've had somewhere around 300 plus charter schools that have failed in the state. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I think a lot of the school districts, I know in Palm Beach County, they really do try to help the charter school, help these charter schools survive. And they give them, actually, I've seen charter schools that probably should have been closed for a couple of years remain as the school district tries to give them whatever support they need because they want they don't want to hurt the students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this accountability, I don't know what type of accountability was written in the HB 7069, but I don't think I ever read of any added accountability to go along with the added amount of money that was being made available to them. But that is always an accountability still will be an issue.
And
for the schools.
One other piece of evidence just to show this dual system, this parallel system, also included in 7069 was a win for some public school advocates on mandatory recess for kindergartner through fifth graders. That schools have to have recess for those students.
Yay.
But it only applies to traditional public schools, not charter schools.
Absolutely.
Nancy.
Held to different standards. Public schools are held to higher standards very often, and charter schools can get a pass. I would say when it comes to charter schools, as with any other issue, follow the money and follow the relationships. Just anecdotally, years ago, the editorial board had a meeting with a charter school company, and a husband came in, wife came in. They were kind of fat and happy. And I remember looking at the wife in this relationship, and I finally had to say to her, "You look awfully familiar. Are you related to Eric Freshen?"
Former state representative
yes,
from West
yes,
State.
Yes, yes, yep, yes, yes, yes. And she said, "He's my brother." You know.
Yes, yes.
Oh, so yeah, follow the money, follow the relationships.
Yeah, and in fact, sat as the chairman of the House Education Committee that put together around the appropriations, as you know. But this does bring up the point, Sergio, the connections that we've seen with the charter school industry and the state legislature. Speaker Richard Corcoran's wife founded a charter school in Pasco County. Hialeah Representative Manny Diaz, who really managed the floor debate around HB 7069, of which there was little, but the floor debate that was there, is the chief operating officer at the charter operator Doral College. So talk to us, Sergio, about this relationship within the charter school industry and the state legislature. And frankly, is it any different than any other industry when you've got a part-time legislature like we do in Florida?
No, exactly. And again, the problems that crop up, at least on our end of the fence, is now you're having to investigate or be a watchdog on a public institution with a private profit motive. And that opens up a whole nother can of worms. You know, you got to look at who's running the schools, where they're getting money from, what loans are they applying to, who's giving them money. And at the end of the day, again, you're doing that. And let me just remind you, in this, if people want to take action on this, and I'm not trying to support one candidate or other, but there are folks that oppose this stuff, you know. They can take part in the state Senate District 40 race, where there's three Republicans.
Special election
coming up.
You know, this does bring up
This is where people can actually say, okay, I disagree or I agree with what's going on.
And I suppose, you know, the public outcry that we heard from PTA groups, teacher groups, graduate groups, school administrators during the consideration of 7069 was really geared toward trying to influence the governor and whether or not Governor Scott was going to sign the bill or not. We haven't heard those same groups really coalesce around the legislators, Nancy, mm-hmm. who approved the bill in the first place.
Right, exactly. I think that there are quite a few people who do go to the polls, who are civically engaged, who do vote, who are happy with charter schools and more power to them.
Sure.
I do think, though, that you see probably quite a few schools in need where the parents are not involved, where the parents are not engaged, and unfortunately, that too has repercussions.
Stick with us. We got more to come here on the Florida Roundup this week. Plastic bags to climate change when City Hall and the State House are at odds with one another. That's next when the Roundup continues.